gridiron.
Shut your mouth, podcasting.
Yards, touchdowns.
Shut your mouth, podcasting. First round draft pick. Believe we got stats, kid. Quarterback sacking. 100 yard dashing. So tap in for the action.
Welcome to the Thin Podcast. I'm your co-host, Sarek, and I'm always joined by my co-host, Ron. What up, Ron?
What's going on?
You know what we do? We talk about the National Football League on a weekly basis, including the playoffs. Ron, we're going into week number 7. We just had week number 6. How are you feeling? Your team won. How are you feeling right now?
Good, man. Got off of a good win. I wasn't expecting it. I'm happy, man. I'm excited for what this week brings.
Yes, very exciting. We have lots to talk about. Of course, we're going to have our NFL news. We're going to recap last week's games, including our football teams. We'll do the upset specials, of course. We'll do our predictions for week number 7. And then we'll do our predictions for our teams, our upset specials, and then we'll do our power rankings. But first, let's start with NFL news. There was a lot of trading going on, and we'll start with the biggest trade. At least, I don't know, the media made it like it was a big deal. Adams to New York Jets. Ron, I know Adams wanted to get out of the Raiders really, really bad. There were other teams that wanted his talent, but he chose New York Jets. Was this the right fit for everybody?
I think so. He's comfortable with Aaron Rodgers. I think the two places he mainly wanted to go was there or the Saints. And with Carr being injured, kind of narrowed his choices down a little bit to just really the Jets. And, you know, Pittsburgh was in the mix a little bit. I don't think we're planning to give up too much in terms of like salary or draft picks or anything like that. So I think it makes sense for him and for the Jets. It gives Rodgers another weapon. But with all these weapons he has now, he'll run out of any excuses if he continues to lose and not make the playoffs. So,
well, he threw Mike Williams under the bus, which, to be honest, it's not a shocker.
No,
that's just what he does. But, you know, fine. The Steelers, whatever happened, the trade, it fell through. The Saints, like you mentioned, Carr was hurt. The Bills, which we'll get to, got Cooper. So they really didn't want Adams. Why didn't the Chiefs? Was it because it was in their own division? I felt like the Chiefs would have snubbed them.
I don't know if Adams would necessarily have fit what the Chiefs are looking for. There are certain type of receivers the Chiefs go after. It's like those, you know, twitchy, fast guys, so quick guys can get off the line of scrimmage. Guys that can make some explosive plays downfield. Adams didn't really fit that. Cooper may have a little bit, but not so much. I think they're happy with what they got, to be honest with you. If you go back and look at what the Chiefs won with at the receiver position the last couple of years, you'll see guys like Juju Smith-Schuster, you know, leading the team in reception. So I don't think they're necessarily unhappy with their receiving group. I think they're perfectly fine with who they have. I think they trust Mahomes to be able to make anyone better. And the guys that they still have, you know, I think they've proven that they're capable of winning. So, you know, it's never about any one guy. And I think the Chiefs realize that. I wish other teams would recognize that too. It didn't make sense for Pittsburgh to be so vested in getting guys like Adams and Ayuk in Arthur Smith's system. It just doesn't match well. You know, I think Kansas City knows what their identity is. They're sticking to that, and I think it'll carry them all the way to the Super Bowl, to be honest with you.
Now, my next question, Ron, is I know that we make a big deal about, oh, we need a receiver, and a receiver is going to make or break this team. So now that the New York Jets got Adams, are they going to be in the playoffs? Are they going to win the division? Like, does it make the team different than what it is right now? Because they don't have Salah. They don't they don't have a Hackett on, running the offensive plays. So is this a better team?
I don't know necessarily. I think Adams gives the Jets, specifically Rodgers, someone that he trusts. So that in itself, I think, will provide some help. This past game, they lost, but they played a lot better, for sure, offensively. Now that you add Adams to that, I think if they can stick a little bit to the running game and work through the running game, I think they can be fine. I think they can use that to get into the playoffs. Having said that, there's nothing guaranteed in this league at all. So, you know, it just takes a lineman going down or Breece Hall getting hurt or missing a key defensive player or something like that. And that can just, like, you know, catapult your entire season. So there's no guarantees in this league. I think they will be a little bit better. I think that, you know, moving on from Salah and just being all in with Rodgers is going to help his confidence. You know, how much of an impact is that going to make on the scoreboard and final result? We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I have my doubts because right now, you know that saying that the inmates are running the show? That's exactly what's happening with the New York Jets. Rodgers is getting whatever he wants, and then the defense is basically... They have good players, but I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if Sauce Gardner is any good. I don't know if their linebackers are any good. I don't know. We'll have to see, I guess. But being that it's kind of a weak division, if except for Buffalo, I don't know if there's any competition, really. So maybe it'll work out. Maybe it won't. I don't know. The next trade, Ron, is Amari Cooper to the Bills. Why did the Bills wait so long? Like, why not make this change at the beginning of the season?
I think they were happy, too, with what they have. I think they probably thought the rookie was further along than what he really is. But, I think Cooper is going to make a huge difference to their offense. But I don't think that's where the news to me is really on the Browns side. You know, was that safe for the Browns getting, you know, rid of your top receiver? I guess that means that they're...
That says that we can't get rid of Watson, so we might as well get rid of other teams. That's basically...
Yeah, that's where the news is. So to me, that they're selling, right? At this point, they're just unloading whatever they can. Which means the Watson experiment has not worked and they're giving up on trying to make a winning season and get into the playoffs this year. But, you know, the Bills will always, you know, with Josh Allen, they'll be in contention. I think Cooper obviously makes them a better, you know, have a better chance for sure once they get to the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that they thought that Coleman... That rookie from Florida State was going to fix, or not fix, but just make them better. And he, I guess he's not progressing what they thought he would be. So they got another player. So good on them, I guess. I still think that they need more help on the defensive side than the offensive side.
Yeah, for sure.
This move, I feel like they're going to try to blow out teams instead of stopping teams. They're going to try to be like, I'll score them. That might work in the regular season. I'm not sure it's going to work in the playoffs, but it's another one.
The weather will stop a lot of teams too when it gets to like December, January football. So I think they know that. That's where they'll have an advantage if they can clinch the division, get some home playoff games. That's where the advantage is going to be on the defensive side, I think.
Yeah, it remains to be seen. The other set of news, Ron. Tom Brady is an official owner of the Raiders. I know there was already rumors that he was working on doing this, but I don't know. Is it going to change things? Because he's announcing and he's like, I don't know if he has any Raiders game this year. I don't think so. Because he's quote-unquote a marquee announcer now, I guess. So why is this a big deal? Why is it a big deal? Why do we need to know that he's a partial owner?
I don't know. I guess because he's fresh out the league, you know. You want to see, he's obviously had a lot of success as a NFL quarterback. Is he going to have that same level of success after retiring from, you know, football? So I'm surprised, to be honest, like Peyton Manning didn't go this route. I don't know if he tried to or not, but Peyton is someone I probably, you know, I would have thought that would have gone to look at owning a team, but, you know.
See, the thing is, and this is totally hearsay from other people, when you own a team, it's like a financial burden on you. It's not like, oh, yes, I'm part owner, so I'm going to get to, like, I don't know, high level stuff. No. Part owner means that you're investing your money, your hard earned money, into this team. If the team is not meeting profits, you're going to lose money. And I think when we talk about Peyton Manning, I think he's doing it the right way. He decided to go into television, create a production company, and actually make money for himself. To be honest with you, I think that Tom Brady took a big gamble, especially with the Raiders.
But to me, that's the right fit, though, right? That's the team that's in the right market. You know, even if you don't have a lot of Raiders fans, which, you know, they don't, to be honest with you, right? Most times, like when Pittsburgh goes in or Dallas goes in, it's overwhelmingly your opponent's fans, but there's still opportunities to make money in that market. So, you know, I think it's a decent investment on his part.
I mean, it shows that Tom Brady has money, but I don't know if it's because he tried to be a Miami Dolphins owner. I think he tried Tampa Bay. It didn't work out. So this, I don't know if they're doing this for the name, because to say, hey, Raiders, Tom Brady go hand in hand, I don't know. I just feel like now we can shot all those rumors about him on retiring, taking over a team. Because I think, you know, the Twitter rumor is that, you know, if San Francisco QB goes down, as Kansas City QB goes down, he would just step up. And I'm like, I think he's retired. I think that this is officially makes it known to people, like, no, he's not coming back to the league. He's done. He's done. He's moved on. So I'm happy for him. I want to see how this is going to work out eventually.
Yeah.
The last set of news, Ron, is that ATL, Atlanta, is going to host the Super Bowl in 2028. Is Kirk Cousins still going to be the quarterback by 2028? Like, are they going to be good, is what I'm asking.
Even if he's not there, they'll have Penix, right? That, you know, the rookie that they drafted to learn behind Kirk Cousins. So, you know, we'll see. They have some young talent. There's plenty of time till we get to 2028 for sure. But I feel like, wasn't it just in Atlanta not too long ago already? Or am I just like misremembering the locations?
I think you might be right. I mean, there's really just three locations, right?
2019, it was just there.
Yeah, this. I mean, that's a really good, that's a really nice stadium. So it does make sense. It's one of the newer ones. I just, the last time that a home team played a Super Bowl at home, I think it was Tampa Bay during the COVID year. And they didn't really have fans. They had a bunch of first responders that flew in for the game. I don't know. It was kind of weird. But I think Atlanta, I just don't know if they're going to have a good team by then. So, but I know they're aiming for that. I know Arthur Smith is like, hopefully he's alive by then, but oh well. Ron, let's go into the recap for week number 6. And I want to say that right now the score is 54-51. And I know we just started doing this for the entire schedule this year, but I want to pat myself in the back because I was one game short of running the slate, Ron. My upset special did not hit, but I hit every game on the schedule. I'm very proud. I'm very proud of myself. Because
still behind, though.
Yes, still behind. I'm still behind, but watch out. That's all I'm saying is watch out, because I might be on a hot streak. And let's talk about that one game, Ron, because it was Washington versus Baltimore, and I like I told you before, I'm on the hype train for Jaden Daniels. That game was a close game.
It was, yeah. It was right there for the taking. You know, I think he played well. Washington just doesn't have a defense, right? You know, Lamar is a two-time MVP in the league, so he took advantage of that. And I think they're just a more experienced team. So, you know, that's why I had the Ravens winning that game. But I think they still showed Washington that they can hang with the, you know, the big boys, so to speak, and that this year isn't a fluke.
Yeah, to me, it showed that they might win the division. They might win the NFC East because if the defense figures it out in the next couple of weeks, watch out, world. Commanders are here. Now, does that mean that they'll go deep in the playoffs? Probably not, but because the NFC East is so whack, the East is so whack that, I mean, who knows, they might take it.
They might take it.
How do you feel, Ron, about Pittsburgh against Las Vegas
last week? So, listen, I had us losing, so I'll take the win. I thought we played extremely good football on the defensive side, outside of, I think, the first drive, you know, and then offensively, I just think we took advantage of some turnovers that our defense got us. I think Justin Field did a really good job of using his legs. Missed some throws for sure. He had a couple stretches where he was just like way wild. So he left some points out on the field. Najee had his best game. You know, he looked explosive. The offensive line got Salem Allah back. You know, he's in the second game now. They're starting to gel a little bit, so I expect that to continue. I thought we looked pretty good, but it's the Raiders. Just changed their quarterback. So, you know, I'm not getting over hyped by just one win and beating the Raiders.
Yeah, I mean, similar to, and we'll get to the Patriots, but similar to Brissett, you just can't win in the National Football League with 145 yards passing. If you're under 200, time and time again, and I know that at least Field does it with his legs, so he's athletic enough, but in this league, you need to score. You need to score, and you need to score a lot of points. I mean, 4-2, it's a decent record, and we haven't even gotten into the divisional games yet. But I'm looking at the Steelers' record right now, where they actually scored more than 30 points, and that was it. It was the Raiders game. They just scored 32-13, but 18-10 they won, 13-6 they won, 20-10 they won. They lost the other two, and then they won this one. Can you just beat 20 points or more the rest of the way? Is it possible with Wilson? What do you think?
I think so. I think he gives us a better chance. I'd let you know. I think Steeler Nation is divided. I think most of them honestly want Fields to continue playing because we're 4-2, and him specifically, he's played okay right up to this point. But like Tomlin said in his press conference, Fields has been good, not great. The offense has been good, better, but not where it needs to be. And we got to look at the big picture. I think he is doing a good job, Tomlin, of recognizing, like, you know, these games are, it means a lot. Yes, you got to win your regular season games. But at the end of the day, once you get to the postseason, you got to have the right team, right? And especially at the quarterback position, you got to have that player, like you said, that is capable of throwing for more than 145 yards, right? Because teams, good teams, are going to stop you from running the ball. So what can you do with your arm? Fields have been inconsistent, I'd say is the best word, because the first couple games, he looked really good. He was very accurate, getting the ball out on time. You know, had a lot of missteps with, you know, not being able to get the snaps together. You know, there was a lot of like penalties and that sort of stuff. But the last couple of games, he kind of regressed. And I think he's shown us this is who he is, right? You got to take with the good with the bad, right? He's an explosive playmaker that can wow you at times. But football is not about wow plays. It's about consistency. And I think, you know, Russell Wilson, has been consistent his entire career. That's why he's a future Hall of Famer. And I think he can be consistent. He's going to have bumps along the way, just like any quarterback who hasn't played in a while. He's going to have to knock the rust off a little bit, but I think he'll consistently, you know, get that team to where they need to be in terms of like points scoring. They'll be in the 20s, I think. It gives them a realistic chance to win a playoff game. That's just my my thought, but I can tell you 70% of Steeler Nation, 80% disagrees with me.
Yeah, I mean, he's winning. Yes, I get that, but he's winning ugly. And I think what Tomlin is saying is like, this is not, we can't keep winning this way. Yeah. Not against, you know, against a good team, you're not going to win ugly unless you have a top-notch defense. And even then, you still need to score points.
Right.
So I totally understand where he's coming from. I totally understand the switch that's coming up with Wilson. And this is a pretty good team that you guys are facing. Guys facing again?
We got the Jets this week.
Oh, the Jets. Sorry.
Prime time.
Mm-hmm. It's on prime time. I don't know about the good team. So, Ron, Drake May made his debut against the Texans. I was concerned for his safety because the Patriots don't have a line.
Mm-hmm.
There was a couple of hits that you kind of held your breath. You're like, oh, please get up. Just get up. And he did. Other than that, what did you like about Drake May?
I should be asking you this question because I was the one who was, you know, going. There's definitely an excitement, I think, right? When you're a quarterback that you drafted, the guy you think is going to be your franchise guy for the, you know, for the next 10 plus years. There's an excitement when that guy finally hits the field. So I'm not a Patriots fan, right? I'm a Steelers fan, but I was excited to see him step on the field. I'm sure you felt that way too. I think they started off, the play calling was a little bit too conservative. They tried to warm him up into the game, but it was so conservative, they put him in bad situations, right? Third and long situations. He started slow. But I thought he played really well. He played with more confidence as the game went on, used his legs when he needed to. I thought he made some really good throws, and you can see the guy oozes talent, right? There's a lot of talent there that you can work with. He just needs to get, you know, time seeing the field, you know, more time being able to feel the pressure, you know, where it's coming from, like where to move. That you can only get playing the game. You can't get that in practice. So I'm glad the Patriots made that change. I think, it's just going to get better and better each week. He's just going to continue to grow and be better.
Yeah, I agree with everything you said. what really popped off the screen for me was his arm. The fact that he can sip it in there. The fact that he can pass so quickly. I think he made mistakes, right? He was shaky at first. Had to do with the play calling. Then he got into it. Then there was a couple of turnovers, a couple of interceptions there. He fumbled one time. So, yes, the first game, rookie jitters, whatever. To me, as a Patriots fan, it gives us hope, right? Doesn't necessarily mean that this is going to be our savior, right? He's not there yet. But hope, according to his receivers, they were like, man, I was open, I had separation, and he put it where I needed. I think that they're excited that they're going to get to play with somebody like that. But he's so green, he's so young, he's going to make a lot of mistakes. The feedback that I got from other Patriot fans, well, not other Patriot fans, just like the media in New England, was that the coaches and the front office is not really ready for this guy. I don't know what that means, because how can you not be ready for a rookie? You drafted a guy.
The Patriots front office?
Yeah, the Patriots front office, Gerard Mayo, Van Pelt, they're the wrong guys to guide this guy. I'm like, it's only been one game, and you're already questioning how Drake May is going to develop. Let him cook, let him do his thing, and then veer him to the right place. I think that people are looking to kind of remove that responsibility from him. And I say, no, give him all the responsibility, because you drafted Polk, you drafted Baker, you already have Pop Douglas on the team. Let's see what these guys can do.
And you're seeing it, right? 13 receptions by the receivers. I don't know if they've ever had that many receptions in any game in the season, right? And I know it's a heavy tight end system, but you're seeing May get the receivers involved in the game. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. Now, one thing that he was missing and he will need to have is a running game. Stevenson, I don't know what's going on with his health, but they have to have a good running game, and they can't have him sitting back there, throwing 40 times a game. He threw 33 times. They kept, they didn't completely abandon the run, even though they fell behind. But they need a consistent running game, ground game, so he's not getting killed back there. So that's a little bit concerning for sure. But I think, I think I'd be happy if I'm a Patriots fan. I would. I think he is proving that he belongs in the league, but it's still early. There's a lot more that we need to see. There's a lot more adversity he needs to go through and overcome. As far as the front office, if they're not ready, then they need to go, because they should have been ready.
They should have been ready. They drafted this guy. Yes, he's young. He sat for 5 games. I don't want to hear it. That's just a narrative that people are picking to ramp up the media, ramp up the shows. I don't like it. If that's what you're going to focus on, instead of focusing what's in front of you, you're going to focus on the people behind this dude, you're doing it all wrong. You're doing it all wrong. So anyways, to say to you, Ron, that I don't think I'm happy yet because we haven't won, but I think that we're making progress. We're making progress, and that makes me excited. So let's look at week 7 predictions, Ron, because we have a couple of teams on a bye this week. Let me just double check. So we have Chicago and Dallas on a bye, but we do have the Thursday night game. So we have the Broncos at the Saints. Now, Denver is favored by 2.5. The points total is 37.5. Ron, who'd you go with?
Yeah, I'm taking Denver. You know, they're playing a little bit better offensively. New Orleans have way too many injuries, right? Besides Carr missing, they're missing their two receivers. They're missing like an offensive West center, and then their right guard, I think, are both out this game. Taysom Hill's not playing. They're just down a lot of players. So I'm taking Denver to win this one.
Yeah, I originally picked New Orleans. Then I saw all the news about the receivers not there. And I don't think Rattler is ready. I mean, he played pretty well against Tampa Bay, but I think Sean Payton's comeback after he got let go or fired. I don't know what happened. But I think he'll have Denver ready. And I think Bo Nix, even though he's not, you know, he's not a walking highlight reel, I think that they should win this game. They have a better defense. So I'm going to switch to Denver. The next game is Seattle at Atlanta. Atlanta is favored by 3 points. The over and under is 50.5. Ron, who'd you go with?
Yeah, this one may surprise you, but I went with Seattle, right? I'm high on Atlanta for sure, but Seattle coming off a loss, I think this is an important game for them on the road. They need to take this one. I mean, it will be a high-scoring game. I think Geno Smith will play a little, you know, a lot better. He'll get, you know, in sync with his receivers again. I think they were a little out of sync last week. Give me Seattle in this game.
Yeah, I picked Seattle as well. I like Seattle's defense. I'm not 100% on board with Atlanta Falcons defense. I think that whole division, the defense is out of whack. I don't trust any of them. And then I don't know, other than Drake London, I don't know if Michael Pitts is being used correctly. I like the fact that Robinson gets the ball from time to time. But, I mean, who else other than Drake London do they have as a receiver?
They got, what's his name, Mooney?
They got
his
name.
He's had a great season so far.
Well, he dropped a couple of balls the other game in prime time. So I don't know. I feel like Cousins is still getting acquainted with everyone there, and he's not there yet, but they're showing a lot of promise. I just want to see some more before I actually start picking them to win tough games, and I went with Seattle on this one. The next game, Titans at Bills. Bills are favored by 8.5. Wow. I think that's the highest this week. The over-under is 42.5. Ron, who'd you go with?
Yeah, I'm going with Buffalo, and I think they'll actually cover that spread too. Buffalo, listen, they need a win this week. They should have some excitement there with getting Cooper. Their defense hasn't played well. I think they'll play much better. You're going against a quarterback that has turned the ball over from time to time. They should be able to capitalize on some of that. I got Buffalo winning this one pretty handily.
Yeah, I got Buffalo winning as well. Before we get to Buffalo, because we already talked with the trade, what's going on with the Titans? Because, like I mentioned last week, the Callahan family has taken over. Got dad there, you got the son as a head coach. Why are they so bad? Is it Will Levis' fault, or is it just, it's just first year? Like, because you normally, if you're a coach, you get that first year bump, but I don't see it with the Titans. What do you think is wrong with them?
A lot of it has been Will Levis at the beginning of the season. You know, some of it is like the running game hasn't been there they probably expected it to be. It's been inconsistent. Hopkins, I don't know how well he's playing. I know he talked about playing through injuries this whole season.
Hopkins playing bad, Ridley's playing bad. So you got
Ridley
these
getting pissed off, not getting the ball and stuff like that. Now getting frustrated. We got a lot of talent, that's for sure. The whole season to me coming into this was riding on Levis taking a jump, right? That year two jump. He had a lot of playing time his rookie year. Showed, you know, he flashed for sure. Showed, had some really good game. I think he won game, he had like four or five touchdowns, right? But he hasn't taken that next step. As a matter of fact, he probably has taken a step backwards. And, you know, it's, we're almost coming up to the halfway point of the season now. He has to improve, has to get better in order for them to, you know, feel confident that, that he's the right guy for that team, you know, into the future.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be a top five pick on the draft next year, but I thought they have more. They're going to have a new stadium in a couple of years, so, you know, I guess their future is okay for now, but I'm just disappointed. The next game, Bengals at Browns. Cincinnati's favored by 5. The point total is 42.5, 43.5. Ron, who'd you pick?
I got Cincinnati win this one. I think, like we talked about, the Browns are sellers at this point. Cincinnati, they haven't given up. I know the record isn't, what are they, 1-5? No, 2-4 at this point. They're not completely out of it, so they're looking to certainly turn the tables around, and they'll come out and put a beat down on the Browns.
Yeah, I mean, what can you say about the Browns that we haven't already said it during this podcast? I mean, if you're going to start Watson every game, no matter what, you're just heading on the wrong way. I feel like this year they want to lose games instead of winning games. I don't know. I don't know what Cleveland's doing. It's like it's such a logical move to get away from Watson, and they still won't do it.
Well, financially, they can't, right?
Fine, that's fine. If he sits on the bench and just collects a check, that's fine. But at least win for the fans.
Right.
Win for the fans. Like they're not even trying to cover up the fact that Watson is terrible. Terrible. Yeah, but that's Cleveland for you. The next game, Texans at the Packers. Packers, Green Bay is favored by 2.5. 47.5 is the over and under. Ron, who'd you pick?
I got Green Bay. They're playing with home field advantage here. Houston's been good, obviously, sitting at 5-1. Very good team, but tough to go on the road up at Green Bay and Lambeau Field and win that one. So give me Green Bay to win.
I was looking up and down this game. I know maybe the spread changed from yesterday to, if it was 3.5, I would have gone, this would have been my upset special, the Texans. I just feel like this is going to be a good game. Love against Stroud. I mean, you have two good quarterbacks. You have Mixon's back. He's probably good. I really like the matchup. But I went with Green Bay. I think at home they have the advantage. The next game, Dolphins at Colts. Indianapolis favored by 1.5. 43.5 is the own under. What's your prediction?
Give me the Colts, although this makes me nervous because Richardson seems to be ready to play this week. So it'll be his first game back, you know, and, you know, he didn't start off the year that well. But the Dolphins are decimated at this point. So the Colts should win this game. So I'm taking the Colts.
I'm taking the Colts too, and give me the under every day. There's no way both these teams are going to go over 43.5. There's no way. I don't see it. Even if I think Miami had a bye last week. So what? So you got two extra weeks for Snoop, and he's still not going to lay any points. So I'm going with the Colts. The next game, Lions at Vikings, another great game. Minnesota's favored by 2.5. The over-under is 49.5. Ron, who'd you pick?
I got Minnesota. I don't want to say I'm all in on Minnesota, but listen, Minnesota, I think they're coming off a bye week, right? Last week. So they're well rested. They just traded for Cam Akers. So I'm sure they, you know, they'll try to get him on the field this week. Give him a little bit of a running game to add to everything that they've already done offensively. Ryan Flores has had a great season. He might be, you know, the first coach hired next year, the way he's had that defense playing. So even Minnesota to win this one.
I'm going with Detroit because I think Montgomery, I know he's, if you look at the stats, you go, oh, he's not really leading him on pass yards, on rushing, on touchdowns. But when Detroit gets inside the five in the red zone, he's like automatic.
Yeah.
I'm really like amazed by what he can do. And I think Goff, he's coming around to like last year's form. It's just taking longer. I know they just lost Hutchinson, which that was a terrible injury.
Yeah. Yeah.
Terrible injury. Sam Darnold kind of let me down against the Jets. Not down to the point where he looked terrible, but I feel like I took back the trust I had on Sunday, so that's why I'm going with Detroit. The next game, Raiders at the Rams. This is Rams are favored by 5.5. The over and under is 43.5. Ron, it's gonna be like 90% Raiders fans at this game. What's your prediction?
I'm taking the Raiders here. listen, they may not have Adams. They still got some good tight ends. I think the running game will bounce back a little bit. The Rams are decimated still with injuries. I think Cooper Kupp was back at practice today, if I'm not mistaken. He has an outside shot at playing, but give me the Raiders to win this one.
The Rams are decimated. There's going to be so many Raiders fans at this game. It's going to be crazy. But I still like the Rams coming off a bye week. They got 2 weeks to get rested. I think McVay is going to figure out what he can do and what he can't do. I just like the Rams to beat the Raiders. I think that the Raiders are going to be in flux because of the whole Adams thing. Again, he asked out, they let him out. I don't trust the Raiders anymore. I never trusted Antonio Pierce to begin with, but this game, I'm going to go with the Rams. The next game on the docket, Ron, is Panthers versus the Commanders. Washington is favored by 7.5, so this is the second highest total. The over-under is 51.5. Ron, who'd you go with?
I went with Washington, but I want to call this out now. This is a trap game for the Commanders. This is a game that they should win. Most people think they will win easily. But Commanders defense, like I said, has been horrendous. Carolina now has started to like look, you know, offensively like they're a decent team. I think this is a game that if Jaden Daniels starts off slow for whatever reason, they just don't come out like they need to, or, you know, they're just not engaged because they just came off the Ravens, that they could lose. But give me Washington to win that. I don't think they win by 7.5, though. I think that spread's too high.
Yeah, I think they win this game. I picked Washington. 7.5 is kind of a lot. Panthers gave Atlanta all they can handle last week. I was kind of impressed with the Panthers. I didn't think that they were going to score so many points. But again, Atlanta defense is suspect, so I'm not super shocked. But I think Andy Dalton is, you know, serviceable. I think Chuba, is it Chuba Hubbard, the running back? I think he's also serviceable. So, yeah, I like
Commander's defense is terrible too. So they're going to put up 20-something points. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah, I think the Panthers are capable of putting 20 plus. So I like Washington, but yeah, I think 7.5 is kind of high. The next game is the Chiefs at 49ers. This is a Super Bowl rematch. San Francisco is favored by 1.5. 46.5 is the over under. Ron, who'd you go with?
I'm going with San Fran. I think, this is a toss-up game for sure. It's tough to bet against Kansas City, but San Francisco, they're starting to play a little bit better. Some guys are starting to get a little bit healthy now. I know they just, Mason got injured, their running back, a little bit injured, but he seems to be limited in practice. It looks like he will be able to play this week. And then even if he doesn't play, the guy behind him stepped up and ran, I think, close for it to 100 yards. So
yeah, Guerrero is.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to be missing a beat at all. I think San Francisco is going to win this one.
Yeah, I went with Kansas City. I know this game could be a toss-up. I just know that if it's a close game, I'm going to give it to Kansas City. And I think that this is going to be a close game. I already see it with my own eyes. Kansas City's not going to look good. They're going to make mistakes. And then at the end, for some reason, whether it's the help from the refs or whether it's the Mahomes magic, they pull off the win. I just, until Mahomes is like 6 feet under, I just can't bet against him. I can't go against him. This guy, even though he's putting up terrible stats this year, I think he has, six picks? The same as 6 touchdowns? I can't do it. He's like Tom Brady level right now, where you just can't do it unless you like chop his head off and say, okay, now the Chiefs are done. I just can't do it. So that's why I went with the Chiefs. But you know me, I love what Brock Purdy's doing this year, but I don't think he can beat Mahomes. Monday night, Ron, we have the Chargers at the Cardinals. Chargers are favored by 2.5. 43.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
Yeah, I got the Chargers winning this one. It's probably another toss-up game to me. Arizona can score some points, but I think the Chargers will pull this one off.
I got the Chargers too. I like their defense. Herbert looked a lot better last game. I think they're gonna give in that division. I think it's Kansas City 1, Chargers 2, Denver 3, and the Raiders 4. I think it might finish that way unless Bo Nix has like an out-of-body experience. And I think the Chargers are good, so I picked the Chargers. So let's go into our teams, Ron. The first team is New England at Jacksonville. This is a London game, so wake up early on Sunday morning. The spread is 5.5 Jacksonville, which I thought was kind of high, but okay.
That is high.
Mm-hmm. The over-under is 42.5. Ron, what's your prediction?
Believe it or not, I got the Patriots winning this one. I'm giving them the win. I don't know. I think, is Stevenson playing? That's going to be almost critical. I don't know what his situation looks like.
To be honest, I don't know. I didn't look at the injury report before we started recording, so I don't know if he's going to be available.
Yeah, they have to have a running game, but I think, any crazy things happen when you go overseas. I know it's going to be the first time for May playing overseas and stuff like that. I don't think he's going to be lost, though. I think he's going to be so occupied with, making sure he has his stuff together because he's new and he's a rookie and this is only his second game. So he's going to be focused. And, Jacksonville, I don't know what's going on with that team, right? They're at 1-5 right now. What else can you say about them? They haven't been playing well at all. Peterson might be on the hot seat. give me the Patriots to win. I got them winning 26-23.
I'm in the same boat, Ron. I got New England winning 24-21. This is going to be a close game. 5.5 is too high. I mean, we've seen Jacksonville play well for like one, maybe two quarters, and then self-destruct. Yeah. Whether it's turnovers or penalties or whatnot. Drake May has definitely lifted the offense for the Patriots. They got Mapu back for the defense. They got the safety, strong safety back for the defense, for the Patriots defense. I like for them to win this game. They did terrible in Germany last year where the offense looked horrible. Mike Jones looked horrible. Kraft put his head down. He was so embarrassed. I think they win this game in London. I told my wife's cousins to watch this game because this is going to be a victory. So I like New England 24-21.
Reading real quick before you move on. Apparently Stevenson has not practiced. He's dealing with a foot injury. Do you think they look to make some sort of trade at all to get a running back on that team?
Gibson is actually a pretty good running back but they don't have the 1-2 punch without Stevenson. I think Jermichael's was the backup. He did all right, but he wasn't really racking up the yards. I can see that depending if Stevenson is long, it's a long-term injury for him. They just signed him to an extension before the season. So he's going to be there for the next couple of years. I don't know with this team, because even if they offer a trade, do the players want to come to New England? You know, I told you before that there's a tax for millionaires there. There's a very high tax. They have to, whatever the team, they have to compensate. They have to pay extra money just to like cover that tax. I don't know. It depends on if Gibson plays bad and Jermichael plays bad. It just depends. Maybe this is the only game that Stevenson misses going forward. If he's not traveling with the team, I don't think he's playing. So, the next game, the New York Jets at Pittsburgh. For some reason, they got the Jets 1-point favorite. 36.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
Wow, this is a big one. I flip-flopped on this like at least 3 times, if I'm being honest with you. I don't know what to expect this game at all. I'm hearing Highsmith might be able to play, which is good because we're going to need to get some pressure on Rodgers. Adams is going to play this week. No surprise there. I think his whole injury thing was just a fake thing the entire time. I picked the Jets to win this 24-23. I do think the Steelers will be able to score some points. But at the same time, I think Rodgers, he has some much better weapons this time around. He should have a decent running game, although our run defense is really good. I think he'll be just enough to get them the win. 24-23 is what I'm going with.
This is a primetime game?
Yeah, Sunday night game.
I actually got Pittsburgh winning 17-14. The cornerbacks for Pittsburgh, I'm a little shaky on. I do like the run defense for Pittsburgh. Breece Hall and the other guy for the Jets from Wisconsin might have some trouble with it running the ball. We mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, the inmates are running the asylum, right? I just can't trust the Jets team until I see consistency. And I see it with the Steelers. I don't see it with the Jets. That's why I went with the Steelers 17-14. I think that they score points. The Jets score points. It's the same thing. It's like the same game plan. I see the Steelers falling behind. Then the halftime comes and the Steelers play better. I just hope that they don't fall behind in too many points where you have Wilson having to like win this game, basically.
Yeah.
So I like the Steelers to win this game. Ron, who's your upset special?
Yeah, so I went with the Baltimore-Tampa game. I think that's going to be a huge game. Lots of good games this week for sure. This is a Monday game. We have, what, two Monday games again? Is that right? It's ridiculous. I don't know why they're doing that, but it's the first of the two Monday games. Baltimore coming off an impressive win, but Tampa, they're a team that like just can put up points, right? Mayfield is probably the toughest quarterback, would you say, in the NFL? I don't think you can ever count him out. I got Tampa winning this one, even though Baltimore is favored by 3.5. You mean Tampa to win 26-23.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I love the Tampa Bay offense. I love everything about it. The receivers, the offensive line, obviously Mayfield. I know they have a rookie running back, but he's actually pretty good. I know he coughed out the ball against Atlanta. It cost him the game, but the defense, and this is a game where the defense needs to step up, because when you got Derrick Henry coming at you, you can't arm tackle this dude.
No.
And I think that has been Tampa Bay's Achilles heel, right? It's like, just Todd Bowles, just make this defense better. If the defense was better, this division would be locked up.
I don't know. I mean, Atlanta's right there too, right? And they're in the same boat, 4-2.
Yeah, but if I had to choose between offenses, I would take Tampa offense. If I had to choose between defenses, I wouldn't take Tampa Bay defense. I would take Atlanta defense. And just, not because they're better, it's just like, pick your poison, right? It just, this is a good game, like you mentioned. This is a good game. I want to see it. I don't know why they have two games Monday night. That's ridiculous. Ron, my upset special, Philadelphia and New York Giants. I have the Giants winning 21-14. This is Barkley's comeback game. I saw some of his quotes. He's saying that he doesn't care.
Forgot about that, yeah.
He doesn't care about it. He doesn't think he's going to get booed. That he's dead wrong on that. If he doesn't think he's going to get booed, he never knew New York fans. There's nobody there that's going to clap. You went from New York to the Philadelphia Eagles. How can you say with a straight face that you don't expect to get booed? You're going to get booed. Having said that, Malik Neighbors comes back for this game, right?
Hoping so. He was limited today at practice, but it's his first practice in a couple weeks, so he's on pace, it looks like, to be able to play on Monday. Got that, we'll see if he can make it.
Receivers and quarterbacks never get hit in practice. They might run and fall, but I see him playing. I see him playing, and I think that I like New York Giants defense. I don't know what the hell is going on with Philly offense. I don't know. They should be like scoring 20, 30 points a game. That game against Cleveland, 16-20, I think the final score is. It could have been 10-16. It was terrible. I don't know
Sirianni
what's going on.
Sirianni is a horrible coach. That dude, he's easy to dislike, isn't he? Like, he's just a complete fool.
I think they made a mistake with hiring him. And I don't know if they just don't want to pay. I don't think he got an extension. I think he got a 3-year deal. And I think they let him play out the deal and then he's gone. Because he's, I don't know what he's doing. He's not calling the defense. He's not calling the offense. I guess he's there to override people, but all the decisions that he makes are wrong, right? So I don't know. I don't know. Sirianni, if he loses this game, is he going to get fired? I don't think so. Because they figured that even if Washington wins the division, they're going to get in there. Philadelphia's going to get in the playoffs no matter what. Unless, you know, the Chicago Bears has some kind of out-of-body experience.
Hey, Bears are on a winning streak. They're 4-2 with a better record. And I won't count Dallas out yet, you know, at 3-3, even though they're, you know, they got no sort of running game whatsoever. And they're decimated right now, you know, on defense.
They can beat the Giants. I don't know if they can beat the Eagles. I don't. Maybe the Commanders. Well, it remains to be seen. I'm giving up on Dallas. I don't. How can you not have a running game? How can you go off in the off season, say you're all in, and then not have a running game?
Yeah.
Ron, who is in your power ranking?
All right, so not much change in my power rankings from last week. A lot of the same teams. I think there was only one team that's different. I got Kansas City at number one, Minnesota at two, Houston at three, followed by Detroit at four. I got Baltimore at number five, same spot as they were last week. I got Atlanta at six. That's the same as last week. Buffalo at seven. That's also the same. And then the team I did not have in my top 10, I sucked them in there this week, moved them all the way to number eight, is San Francisco. I got them sitting at eight right now. I think, like I said, they're getting healthier. I think this is where they'll start to really take off, you know, and grab hold in that division. But I got them at number eight. I got Green Bay right at number nine. They were the number nine last week. And then... at 10, I got Washington at 10. So they fell from number 8 to number 10 with the loss at Baltimore. I had Seattle there last week dropping out of the top 10. So, yeah, those are my top 10 teams right there. Yeah, and like I mentioned, you know, Chicago, they're right knocking on the door. They got a big game next week, I think, at the Commanders. They got a bye this week. You know, if they can continue to string some wins together, Caleb's playing really good. The defense playing better. The running game looks decent. I think Chicago might make my top 10 in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I included San Francisco this week. I went with Kansas City, Minnesota, Detroit. I got Houston at number four. I got Baltimore moving up to the five spot. San Francisco, which I didn't have. Green Bay. I got Steelers at number eight. I got Atlanta at number nine. Only because they beat Tampa Bay. So I cannot have them on my list. And then I have Washington. Now, Seattle's not there. Tampa Bay's not there. If they win this week, they can probably go back in my list.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone's playing well.
Yeah.
You know, last week, I made my choices based on like teams that are playing well. And, you know, there wasn't a lot of underdogs except for my up to special. So I'm actually feeling pretty good. I'm feeling pretty good. We got Drake May going. There's hope there. I just won 13 games last week. So I'm good. I'm feeling good. It's week number seven. I'm feeling good about what's going on. It only took 6 weeks. Now, could I have been feeling good at week one? No, because I feel like they're still shuffling people on the offensive line. So they're not there yet. And they might not be there yet. But the fact is, you're playing a 1-5 team in London. So that should make you feel good that the other team has the same record as you.
Yeah.
So
how many one-win teams are there right now?
That's a good question.
See, the Rams are 1-4. Panthers at 1-5. The Browns at 1-5. The Patriots at 1-5. So just looking over those teams, one for sure, Carolina in the market for a quarterback next year. The Rams with Stafford being up there in age, they could see them maybe going after a quarterback next season. Tennessee 1-4. That's, you know, I don't know if they go after a quarterback and just turn the page on Levis just yet. And the Jags certainly won't do that, right? I don't think they, after giving what's his face a huge contract, they're just going to move on from there. So the point I'm making is the Patriots have a very good shot at being in the top three. Lots of teams will want quarterbacks. There's lots of good quarterbacks, in my opinion, coming out this year. Drake May is going to prove whether or not he's the guy. And if he is, then great. Pats can use that, you know, for some extra picks and really start to surround him with better protection, like you said, right? By drafting some linemen, and, you know, maybe some other skill players if they need to do that. So that's kind of where my head is at with the Patriots. I'm not saying they need to tank at this point, but I think they're in good position, especially now that they're playing May. They can evaluate him and see what they really got.
Yeah, I think depending on how well May does for the rest of the season, I think that, you know, even if they don't win games technically, but at least he's making the offense better. I mean, 3 touchdowns, over 200 yards passing. That's pretty good for a rookie. With the Texans defense, which is a pretty good defense. I can't say that about Jacksonville's defense, but I like the direction. I think that there was a lot of talk about, like, what is this team doing? But now it's paying dividends, right? Now you can see why they drafted receivers, and now they're actually getting the ball. It's, you know, I think they were just a running team strictly, and now if Stevenson comes back, now they can do both. They can run the ball and pass. So yeah, I feel good. I feel good. I'm not static by any means, but I feel good. So next week, Ron, we'll do our annual list of quarterbacks you want to start with. And I'm not, it just happens that Drake May is playing well, but again, we could, if they win, I'm just giving you a preview right now, Ron. If they win, look for Drake May to be in the top 10.
Top 10 of what?
Of quarterbacks that you want on your team going forward.
Oh my God.
I'm just
slow down there.
I'm just warning you.
Slow down.
So we'll do a team, 32 teams, and then we'll go over the quarterbacks. And then the following week, which will be week 9 for you guys listening, we'll do coaches on the hot seat. So episode 105, we'll do the coaches. Episode 104, we'll do the quarterback. So just off the top of your head, who you think is number one?
What, coaches or
quarterbacks?
Quarterbacks. Young quarterbacks I'd want to start my team with. So where's the cutoff exactly? Like, are these quarterbacks that are, like, drafted this year, last year, too?
Drafted, right? This year, and they have to be starting quarterback.
So then I can't take, like, Stroud, right? Because he was drafted last year.
No, you can take whoever you want. You can take, as long as they're starting, you can just take them.
Well, obviously, Mahomes would be, if you're giving me the whole field, I'm taking Mahomes over everybody. Give me him over everybody. I think Josh Allen would be in there. I think Burrow would be in there still. Lamar would be in there still. Stroud will be in there. I'll put some younger guys in there that I'm still looking at potential. I've seen a little bit of, you know, but I want to see more. That's guys like Jalen Daniels, Caleb Williams. I think I had those two guys in there for sure. Wow. And I think from there, it probably gets a little bit
Dicey. I think my number one, I think Mahomes, I don't know. It's going to be between Mahomes and Stroud. Because I think that all the other quarterbacks, probably except for Lamar, all the other quarterbacks, I don't know if I would want to start my team with them. Even Josh Allen, even Joe Burrows.
Why?
Because we know that they have their, with Burrows, we know he's injury prone. So we know that he likes to start slow. And even though he says it's not his fault, but and with Josh Allen, I think that window is closing. I wouldn't want, like, I wouldn't give Josh Allen a 5-year extension. I think I would give Stroud a 5-year extension. I think I would give Lamar a 5-year extension. I don't know. I would have to look at Mahomes' age. I think he's in 27, 26. I don't know. But we'll talk some more when we do our list. Ron, feel better.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Is there anything else you want to say to the Steelers fans out there?
Big game. I know a lot of people are like not happy about the quarterback move, but listen, we got to come together. This Steelers Nation, we are like way too divided. We got to get behind Russell Wilson, Mike Tomlin too. And I'm a huge Mike Tomlin critic, but I do like how he's handled the quarterback situation. I do like how he spoke to the quarterback situation this week. I'm putting my trust in him and Russell Wilson, the future Hall of Famer, to lead us into the playoffs over a guy who was just thrown off the Chicago Bears for virtually nothing. So I think the Steelers are doing the right thing. But regardless of what you feel, whether it feels with your guy or not, let's all just get behind Russell Wilson and hope that he has some success. And when he does, you know, let's credit him and acknowledge it. Because there's, I mean, you know how football is. You got your guy. Same thing happened last year. You got like your Kenny Pickett guys. I was probably in his boat versus, you know, people who hated Kenny Pickett and wanted to see him fail and stuff like that. You shouldn't want your quarterback to fail if you're truly a fan of the team. So there's people really rooting for Russell Wilson to fail, and I find that like disturbing. Can't call yourself a Steelers fan if that's really the case.
Yeah, that then you need to take their Steelers fan card back.
Yeah, I don't deserve for sure. One.
Listen, with the Patriots, it's okay to get excited. It's okay to like have hope. But I know there's some comparisons. Some people were comparing like Drake May to Drew Bledsoe. Like, and unfortunately, I'm old enough to remember when Drew Bledsoe came on the scene in, I think, 93 or 94. And people were like, wow. People were just dropping their jaws. But that's because there was so many years where the Patriots were terrible, terrible. And fast forward to 2024, that's not the same. We were actually a successful organization, but we've been starving for offensive talent, right? Mac Jones, maybe he had the cerebral part down, but he didn't have the physical, you know, the physical skills that Drake May does. This, it's okay to get excited. Just don't take it too far. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you were saying in the top 10, so.
Well, top 10 for like future. I'm not saying that he's going to stay there, but I'm just saying, hey, if he wins this game, you go to 2-5. I don't think we have the bye week yet. I think it's week 9, but there's hope. And there's more things to come, but at least we got something. And stop, for God's sake, stop blaming the organization. Stop blaming the coaches. Oh, he doesn't have the support because they don't know what they're doing. It's his first year. It's the coach's first year. Come on, people.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is giving them a break. Mm-hmm. We're all learning here. I feel like there's a lot of Patriot fans that are just like, oh, it's going to be wasted. It's just talent wasted until we get a real coach. Listen, forget what happened to what happened last year with Belichick. He got different coaches and messed up Mac Jones, right? Just stick with the coaches right now.
Yeah.
Stop playing the blame game. It's too early. It's too early to start playing the blame game. At the end of the year, yes, you can blame coaches for whatnot, but not right now. I feel like people are spoiling the good news, right? They're spoiling the dessert. They're spoiling the feast of Drake May coming to the scene. Don't be that person. So join us next week. We'll have week 8. We'll do the recap. We'll do the upset specials and we'll do our power rankings. Ron, have a good night. And
you too, man.
With that said, I say peace.
Peace.
All right, that's it, guys. That's the end of the show. Thanks so much for all your support and listening today. If you got any questions, comments, feedback, feel free to email us at simsportsmedia@gmail.com. That's SYMSPRTSMEDIA@gmail.com. Peace.